the Good Samaritan. You don't even really have to be a part of church to know that term and assume that you know what it means. The term is known by most everyone. He was a Good Samaritan, which meant he helped people. Did you know that when I was typing this in my computer and I typed good S, it automatically popped up Samaritan? Not good Sunday or good Sam or good service, good Samaritan, automatically. It's that common of a phrase. It's funny because Jesus never used the word good. Even our Bible titles, my Bible, probably yours also, titles that section as the Good Samaritan, but the word good is never used. There's a priest. We don't use the term bad priest, just priest. There's a Levite. Again, we don't say bad Levite, we just say a Levite. There's a man in a ditch, not a good or a bad or anything, just a man, badly beaten. And then there's this Samaritan that we all call good. No one wanted to be a Samaritan in that day. And now we use it as a phrase, the Good Samaritan, to be an example of what Jesus told us we needed to be. Even today in the area of Samaria, it is behind the Palestinian walls that we know of as the West Bank. And still today, those people are not looked highly upon. I'm afraid this may happen a few times in the future, so I hope that you can tolerate me. But here are some pictures. They're not on the list, but here are some pictures from Samaria that I thought might help you kind of get a picture of the area. But I put this one in first because it is pretty funny. It is a Samaritan, about the only restaurant in Samaria. And look at the sign on the right. Alabama Crimson Tide. I promise you that's the only time that we were in Israel that we saw anything like that. But the guy that runs that restaurant is a big Alabama fan. Go figure. But you can go on to the next one. You see that the roads are dirty and dusty and rocky and hilly. You can go on. I think the next one are the ruins of the area. I'll talk about this more on August 25th, but that's really about the only thing left in Samaria are ruins of ancient times. And you'll remember the story of the woman at the well in Samaria. We did go to that well, which has a church built on top of it. I don't have pictures of it today, but I will show you that later on. And then you can just see that it is high on a hill, and you can see the vast, to travel anywhere, you had to go downhill and on these dusty, dusty roads. You can go on. This is, all along this dusty road are people selling things. This man was there with his donkey selling plums, and he was trying to get you to buy plums. And then there's just the beautiful hillside. I won't do this every Sunday, I promise, but you're going to see a lot of pictures from the area when I'm talking about it. But Samaria is in what is now behind the West Bank. It is an area that is considered to be refugees that live there. But you will remember that in that time, Samaritans were not considered very highly of. They were thought poorly of. And that has not changed a lot over the years. That area is still in great turmoil. But Jesus' story of the Samaritan became the unexpected hero of the story. I'm guessing that Jesus could have picked a man from anywhere, but he didn't. he picked a man from Samaria. When we look at all of the characters, when we took our classes on Wednesday nights on the parable, he encouraged us to look at the parables from each character's point of view. So we do have a priest, a holy person, probably hurrying off to do a service, crossing the other side. We have a Levite. We have a man who's been badly beaten. And we have a Samaritan. After telling the story, Jesus asked, "Who is living correctly?" And the answer was the Samaritan. Who wants to be any other character? Who wants to be, "Oh, I really want to be the Levite," or "I really want to be the man who is badly beaten"? We all want to be the Samaritan. But I wonder today if we could go back to the very beginning of the story and picture ourselves not as any character of the parable, but as the lawyer who asked Jesus the question in the first place. So many people believe the lawyer went to Jesus to test Jesus, to see if he could get Jesus to trip up, or maybe he was just wanting to validate himself and to show what a good person that he was. But it was not unusual for a lawyer in those days, a lawyer who reads and interprets the Torah, to ask theological questions for understanding, maybe to see if this guy who claimed to be the Messiah knew what he was talking about. I realize we're always a little suspect of lawyers. Sorry. But there's nothing in Jesus' response that would make us think there's anything manipulative or suspect in this conversation. It appears that this is an honest question by someone wanting a real answer. What does it mean to really follow the law, to live the law? Now, I mentioned before, I know we all want to be the Good Samaritan in the story, and we want to judge other people in the story for not doing the right thing. But do we always do the right thing? How often do we walk by people who need our love and attention, but we just walk on by? We, like the lawyer, need reminders along the journey that we need to see things that we don't normally see. Things that perhaps only Jesus has the eyes to see. But if we're attuned to Christ, if we're in a daily walk, a daily conversation with Christ, we can also see. We need a constant reminder, regular instructions of what it means to live in the kingdom of God today. We need to wake up each and every morning and ask Christ, "Where and how can I act out the kingdom of God today?" I do know that Jesus taught us that we don't live in the law, but we need to live in the love. And that's what Jesus tried to teach the lawyer that day. Do you ever wonder, like Kevin asked the children, do you ever wonder what the lawyer's response to Jesus was when Jesus said, "Go and do likewise"? Do you think the lawyer said, "I give up," and goes home? Or do you think he went and he looked for people he could help? Or did he just keep living the life he was living, following the law and letting the love aside? We can't know. There's no way to know how the lawyer responded, but it can be our calling to finish the story. It can be our calling to go and do likewise, to keep inquiring what it looks like to follow Christ. I think for a long time I've not really liked this lawyer. I've always thought the lawyer was suspect and trying to cause problems. But today I'm thinking I need to be a little more like this lawyer. Sometimes I think we can fall into a pattern of living where we go about our lives pretty much on rote, doing what we believe is what God wants us to do. We go to church on Sunday. We volunteer here and there. We may even volunteer at the food pantry or do a mission project. But we don't stop and ask ourselves, are we really opening our eyes to see as Christ sees? Are we really living out what we believe all the time, not just when it fits into our schedule? Are we living the kingdom of God in our offices? Are we living the kingdom of God in our neighborhoods? Are we living the kingdom of God in our families? We know we should be the Samaritan, but are we walking right on by like the Levite or the priest? I can find myself walking right by people in need and just crossing across the street so I don't have to interact. There are people who come into the office pretty regular to visit. A couple that come on a real regular basis to visit with me, and I often sit down and have a conversation and maybe have a prayer and sometimes give them a gift card or a little money, try to send them toward services that could help them. But then there are other days when I'm really going full speed and I don't have time, and Kelly buzzes back and says, Jimmy's back. And it's somebody that I know that has been to St. Teresa's, and he's come here, and he'll leave here and he'll go to Covenant, and then he'll go to Glad Tidings, and then he'll go to St. John's. And he'll try to get money, and he'll try to get food. And I've told him time and time again, I can't give him any more money. He can take some food off the shelf. And I direct him to places. But I know before he comes up the stairs, it's going to be a 45 minutes out of my day. And it's the same every time. And to be honest with you, there are days that I want to run and hide. And sometimes I do. Or if I do sit down with them, I'm spending the whole time thinking, well, that's what you told me last time. You told me something different. You know, what am I supposed to do with all of this? And I don't really tune in to their need. I find myself reminded by the lawyer that I need to be aware. I need to be persistent. That doesn't mean that I need to give the money every time, or I need to roll down my window at every corner and give money. But the question of the lawyer is the question of faith. We need to ask it over and over and over and over. And we need to remember how Jesus answered. How do I live in the kingdom of God here each and every day? God, how do I love my neighbors? God, open my eyes to see my neighbors today. God, I'm thankful that I'm a child of yours. Show me your way. Amen and amen.